Insider, a Claritas podcast for marketers focused on finding and targeting their ideal customers at scale. I'm your host, Monique Ruiz. We took a break from the podcast over the holidays, but we're back in action for 2021, and so glad you've either stuck with us or found us for the first time. For this month's episode, we thought we'd revisit an industry we highlighted 2 years ago on the podcast, and that's financial services. Don't worry if that's not the industry you serve, though, because there will definitely be tons of best practices and real-world examples we'll be sharing that you can apply to your business. As you know, February is considered the month of love, and banks and credit unions are known for the love that they show their customers and members through financial empowerment and financial well-being. But after the year we all had in 2020, we thought it was time to show them some love with tips and tricks to help strengthen their marketing strategies going forward. First in my amazing lineup of guests is a return guest, Catherine Spizak, who's a director of product strategy here at Claritas. Then, after our quick commercial break, we'll have Victor Coro, CEO of Copera Consulting, who's going to talk to us more about how growth strategies have changed for financial institutions, namely credit unions, in the past year, where the opportunity lies, and why community involvement will be key to success in 2021. That being said, Catherine, welcome back to the Marketing Insider.
Thanks, Monique. Thanks for asking me to come back. I'm really excited to be here.
So like I said in my intro, it's been about 2 years since we had an episode tailored towards the financial services industry, which you were my guest on. So since it's been a while, can you give a quick reminder to our listeners as to what the role you play here at Claritas is?
Sure. So I'm the director of product strategy here at Claritas. I lead a team of product managers that are responsible for all of our databases.
You're a busy lady. So I really wanted to have you on, not only because I love working with you, but in part because you talk to financial institutions on a regular basis. So you know where their strengths lie and you know where they need a helping hand. And you've been integral in the development of solutions that are actually helping them succeed, even in a pandemic. So tell me from the conversations that you've had, what are the top three challenges that banks and credit unions are going to face this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the big focuses is kind of this shift to online. And that was really before pandemic, but even more importantly now is
right.
They have customers who absolutely want to go into a branch. Then they have customers who absolutely never want to go into a branch and want to do everything through their phone. They have to find a way to adjust digitally to those who didn't want to be digital and teaching them how to do that and offering services that they understood as well. So it's really been an interesting shift for this industry to go online. So even though, you know, they've offered digital services in the past, traditionally banks and credit unions have been known for more for their in-person services and for those who demand that. You know, there's been branch closures and transformation for what those branches offer.
Right.
About 5 years ago, I'd say for Claritas, we transitioned to having many of our solutions to a cloud-based environment. And some of the biggest laggards to those migrations were our financial clients because they're so rooted in traditional ways of doing business. And so I'd say because the financial industry is so regulated and concerned with regulations and staying compliant, that just a shift to online in general is something that this industry really needs to stay cognizant and be sure that anything they're using is privacy safe without use of any kind of sensitive data or drivers, and you know, making sure that they're all compliant with any regulations. Second big challenge I'd say really is just strained finances. So really focusing on the changes in their members and financial situations is going to need to be addressed, and they're going to have to make up for, you know, their own losses in terms of having struggling customers and members to still find those for certain products and services so that, you know, financial institutions themselves can continue to grow to meet their own goals. So this could be through paycheck protection programs or home equity loan or home improvement loan offers, any, you know, finding those customers that need those types of offers. And I'd say finally, it's increased competition. You know, the shift in moving to online, the shift in kind of customer demand and staying on top of the competition would really kind of round out some of the biggest challenges. And, you know, there were some surveys at the beginning of pandemic where people didn't feel supported by their financial institutions, but maybe they still don't. So switching is obviously something that's was attractive before,
right?
Trying to find the place with the best rates, but maybe even so more so now where, you know, they want to find somebody that they feel supported to. So in this case of increased competition and differing, you know, needs, I think acquisition and retention are both equally important. So it's really a careful balance for financial institutions to kind of stay on top of that, make sure that they're reaching the right customers and prospects.
Are there any quick and easy, for lack of a better way to put it, solutions that you have seen work to help combat those challenges?
Yeah, I'd say for, you know, kind of shift to use of online for products and, you know, digital ads or ensuring that you're kind of reaching the right customers. It's just finding a privacy safe solution, and they're out there. And most importantly, you can find data sets that don't use the sensitive variables that are included in Regulation B. So it'd be things like race or ethnicity, religion, national origin, gender, things like that. From customer strained finances, you can kind of, there's data out there on pre-built audiences. So whether you have your own data that you can work with, or you can work with an onboarding partner to access other companies' data, you can get lifestyle, spending, psychographic behavior attributes specific to whatever kind of campaign you want to put out. And I'd say from an increased competition perspective, anonymous website visitors are really the easiest way to find prospects with the most potential, because they're coming to your website. They're probably also going to your competitors' websites, and 90% of them really just remain anonymous. But there is a way to collect the visitor data to so that you can really kind of identify who these anonymous visitors are. And the result is really retargeting best prospects, finding lookalike audiences, and really getting a high-definition portrait of what was once just an anonymous visit to your website, which can really help you stay on top of the competition.
Yeah, those are all really good tips. But Catherine, I've recently seen or been seeing a ton of articles mentioning the rise of fintech in the wake of the pandemic. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, what opportunity has fintech been able to seize with the changing ways that people are handling their finances?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of ties into all three of those challenges, right? Fintech is companies or services that use technology to provide financial services to both businesses or consumers. So this could be mobile payment apps like Venmo or PayPal or Square. I mean, think about how much we've relied on things like that, you know, in the last few months. And fintech really has an upper hand over traditional brick and mortar financial and banking institutions in the last year. They mainly operate on e-commerce level and are really popular among Gen Z and younger millennials who, you know, they might not have as much money to invest right now, but they're providing longer lifetime value than the older, wealthier boomers. But this industry, I think, is just, it was seeing popularity before the pandemic based on the fact that these younger consumers, this is the way they kind of want to transfer money and look at their financial services. But even in the last few months, you know, you're seeing other segments that traditionally may not have banked this way or you know, worked with their finances this way, even depending on fintech too. So it's something the financial industry as a whole kind of needs to migrate to kind of understand what's working and what's not and develop that way.
Yeah, I will say that it is easy to use those apps to do some of your daily activities, especially now in a pandemic. But at the same time, I don't think that they tick off all of the boxes that those traditional brick and mortars do, or those bigger banks or even local credit unions do. So one thing that kind of stands out to me is everyone's shift to a local mindset. And what I mean by that, it's kind of just like it sounds. So we've been somewhat limited to staying close to home, whether that's because of specific mandates in the state that we live in, or just general health concerns, or maybe even a combination of both. And to me, that's a perfect opening for a credit union, for example, to shine. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. I think we're seeing now, in this time, everyone wants to be kind of hyper-focused on local, you know, smaller business and other industries. So I think it is, you know, credit unions' opportunity to kind of jump on that bandwagon, because that really is where their niche market is. So their advantage is really just in advertising, making sure that any campaigns have the imagery of the local area, becoming involved in the community, using regional messaging, you know, things like that, to really ensure that their campaigns are hitting home on that need to feel like a community. And understanding the local market and members and, you know, their demographics, but also just their psychographics, what types of things resonate with them, what are they listening to, reading, watching, is really something that syndicated segmentation can hone in on to help, not just help credit unions, but even banks as a whole, ensure that they're sending the right message. But especially for credit unions who want to target hyper locally, something like syndicated segmentation can really help ensure that they're reaching the right people with the right message.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but kind of similar to that, superior customer service is something that I personally seek out when I'm evaluating who I choose to either spend or invest my money with. But how can a credit union or bank ensure that they have good customer service when they have essentially been somewhat forced to shift to more digital targeting and service maintenance efforts?
It's all about ensuring that you know who you're reaching and okay. what their wants and desires are, and making sure that any marketing effort, whether it's a social media ad, a digital ad, an email, anything, is really targeted in on what those personal wants are. And the way to do that is through syndicated segmentation. So it helps indicate who your best customers or members or prospects are. It uncovers what they're like, what they buy, what their attitudes are toward a category, what their current lifestyle behaviors are. So that could be media choices. That could be, you know, want to update something in my home, you know, all sorts of things, which really uncovers for these financial institutions where to reach these customers, members, prospects, how to reach them. So the best way to personalize marketing efforts, which really will give you the best return on investment.
Yeah, I think the good news is a lot of the ways that you just mentioned, they're universal across industry. So you don't have to be in the financial services industry to kind of use those same tactics. But let me ask you one last kind of admittedly tough question before I let you go today, and then I'll go ahead and bring in my next guest, Victor. So 2020 was a highly political year due to the pandemic, the election, and rising social justice concerns. And people are now looking for the brands that they engage with to be more purpose-driven. So how do you take that into consideration from a marketing perspective without being divisive?
It's obviously a topic that's, you know, really important these days. Really understanding the psychographics can ensure that you're positioning your message to them in the right way. So it's really understanding. And the best way to do that is with segmentation, you know, rich lifestyle behavioral data to ensure that your message is being sent appropriately into the right household.
Yeah. Definitely a tough question, but an important question. So, Catherine, thank you again for joining me today. You've been great and you've provided a ton of insight. And I mean, I just always enjoy chatting with you. So I appreciate you being here with me today.
Thanks again, Monique. Let's not let 2 years go by before we do it again.
You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks.
Attention, financial marketers. In a time where marketing budgets are stretched thin, free content is king. Visit Claritas.com and click on our Insights tab to access one of our latest blogs titled, Here's Why You Should Consider Incorporating Email into Your 2021 Marketing Plan, and 10 Questions You Should Ask Before You Do. And now, back to the podcast. We're back from our commercial break, and we're lucky enough to be joined by Victor Coro, the CEO of Copera Consulting, a full-service Hispanic growth firm providing custom solutions for credit unions nationwide to grow by reaching and serving the Hispanic market. Victor, thank you for joining me on the Marketing Insider.
Thanks for having me, Monique. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So we usually like to start off with our guests telling us a little bit about themselves and the role that they play at their company. But I'd also love to hear how Copera Consulting came to be in the first place.
Well, My name is Victor Miguel Corro. I was born and raised in Panama, and I've been here in the States, actually in Madison, Wisconsin, for the last almost 30 years. I've been in the credit union industry for about 25 years now. And as far as Coopera Consulting, it's a business that started about 15 years ago. And it started by the Iowa Credit Union League. They saw an industry in need to grow and be relevant within a new constituency, a new community. And that was obviously the Hispanic community. So back then, they started leveraging analytics and leveraging all this data to help credit unions understand the business case behind serving Hispanics. But also tie that to the mission of inclusion and providing access to financial services of all, especially a growing and underserved population such as the Hispanic population.
It's a great story. I love to hear that. So jumping right in, though, we all know that the pandemic has had an impact on all industries, but what does the impact look like in both the banking community itself and with their customers and members, considering that you do work with them day in and day out?
You know, this is a conversation that we have seen in the whole country, and that has basically put front and center the inequities, the systemic failures that our society has. And when it comes to allowing some groups to thrive and some groups to stay behind. And so as credit unions are mission-driven and, you know, based upon a philosophy of inclusion and improving financial health, you know, that pandemic really made us focus on who we're supposed to be helping more and more. And, knowing what communities have been historically left behind or marginalized is something that we have focused our efforts in the last basically year. You know, really coming back to that mission of providing financial services to people that have no other option, it's at least in the credit union sector. It's something that we have been very mindful and, you know, had, like I said, it was something that became very apparent because of the pandemic.
Yeah, this past year has been a challenge, that's for sure. And Coopera consults on behalf of the financial well-being of Hispanic consumers in particular. And like you said, the Hispanic community is underbanked and underserved by credit unions. But what exactly does that mean? And why would that be something that credit unions need to be aware of?
The Hispanic consumer, it's sometimes misunderstood. And what we bring to the industry and, you know, in partnership with Claritas is the ability for these financial institutions to know who's represented within their constituency when it comes to the Hispanic market, what generation they're from, what age they have, what is their engagement with the products and services. And with that information, that data, the credit unions can actually make decisions and have a strategic plan and to really fulfill their mission of inclusion. When you know that perhaps your Hispanic membership is 90% Spanish preferring, then you know that you need to actually have a plan for translation, a plan for having bilingual, bicultural staff in branches, or having your website translated into Spanish. If you know the country of origin of your Hispanic membership, also you would know that Spanish comes with different, different accents, different backgrounds, depending upon the country of origin of all of the folks that are members of credit unions. So, knowing all of this data makes for personalized and culturally sensitive a customer journey. And, you know, in the end, that's what we want. Everyone to feel welcome and everyone to be served by a mission-driven industry that enhances the financial health of people, especially the Hispanic consumer, which is the most underserved in the country. When I say underserved, meaning they don't have a relationship with a financial institution that is regulated or that provides insurance on their deposit.
Yes, there definitely needs to be a change, and you did lay out some great ways to make that change happen. So, Victor, as you'll have heard in my intro, February is the month of love, and financial service institutions are known for showing love to their clients, their members, their customers through financially empowering them to hit their personal wealth goals. But what do you see as some of the greatest barriers that credit union in particular themselves face when it comes to fully realizing their own potential for growth?
There's a lot of noise in the system. You know, we're bombarded with a lot of information daily. And so sometimes it's hard to focus on what's important. And, you know, what we have realized is that in order to include, you need to understand, you need to be curious. And that's what credit unions are doing now. By having all this data, all of this analytics, it's a way that teams at organizations find out that they need to do something in order to include. You know, credit unions have a fantastic value proposition for a consumer because they're non-for-profit financial cooperatives. That means that they are not interested in making money off a consumer, but actually helping them with their financial health. So, you know, the more that people belong to these organizations, the better it is for them, because you create a good financial health in the consumer, and a good and healthy consumer actually builds better communities. So in different words, you are building a community, you are making the country stronger.
Yeah, and I guess my next question would be a little bit of a piggyback off of this last one, and my colleague Catherine would have talked about it a little bit earlier too, but I want to get your perspective. How has the go-to-market strategy for credit unions changed? And I'm just curious what the difference is from a year ago.
We have seen a great interest in DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay.
And, you know, that has been something that the industry is taking very, very seriously. And from that, you know, we have gone past the why, the justifying the business case behind getting into marginalized communities or getting to know different membership base, to really getting to know the profile of different communities, you know, within the Hispanic one. You know, Koreans are more and more curious about what generation a Hispanic consumer is, what is their age, what is their identity and level of acculturation when they come and live in here in the United States. If it's a third generation, what is their language usage and all of these things. So there's a great interest now in understanding the consumer behavior through analytics. In the end, the industry wants to be relevant to the consumer that's adding population to the United States.
Yeah, and if you can't name names, we totally understand, but can you share a success story or two that you've seen with one or more of your clients over the past year, especially considering that the world is very different now?
What we have seen in some of them is that within a year, they have been able to go from a credit union that was completely monolingual, just English only, to a credit union that actually has an app, has online presence, and has you know, bilingual, bicultural staff in every branch. You know, that it used to take a long, long time for you know, a banking institution to do that. But we have seen that accelerated lately. Once they see the data and they see, you know, the potential for growth, they really go fast and adopt our advice to really change the mindset and serve more people and be very welcoming to the fastest growing population in the U.S.
So when we were talking about having you on this episode, I wanted to do a little bit of research on my own. So I had a browse on your website and I noticed that you have several white papers and other resources mm-hmm. that help credit unions responsibly reach and serve Hispanic consumers. But I'm curious to know, since this could be helpful to our listeners, which ones have been the most utilized and why do you think that is?
The one that we get the most requests is based upon the business case and how to have this conversation to introduce new and include new communities. And basically, it's getting to know who you have as a member and really have that good understanding that supports the business case. And once you have that that understanding as who you have as a member or as a constituent, a consumer, then you need to have a plan. And a plan that looks into, operational areas so that, the credit union or the bank feel the need to include and reach out to communities that they have left behind.
But speaking of resources, though, Copera offers coaching to help financial institutions build community outreach and partnership strategies. And what do you see as some of the easiest ways for credit unions to get involved with community organizations and businesses that's ultimately going to help them uplift all parties in a mutually beneficial way?
Yeah, that's actually, a way to build trust with especially the Hispanic community that is unacculturated and is newly arrived. If you see community-based organizations, for example, there's many Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in different towns, immigration lawyers that do their job sometimes pro bono. They know the needs of that Hispanic segment that actually is the most underserved. And, establishing a relationship with these community-based organizations is crucial for a credit union. What we find is that the community already trusts the community organization. Mm-hmm. And once they partner with a financial institution that provides, information or educational sessions on how to build a budget, how to maintain your credit score, or how to build a credit score, that's when we see the trust even established in that consumer. They will come to the credit union and they will tell their friends, hey, come on, this is a good place for you to trust your money and to have financial advice. And so it makes the community stronger. And it reaches out a lot faster when you have those relationships.
So, Victor, we really appreciate you sharing some of your insider knowledge today. But before I let you go, I do have one final question for you, and it's an easy one.
Okay.
Where can our podcast listeners go to learn more about what you do and how Copera Consulting can help them succeed in today's environment?
Well, usually is our website is coperaconsulting.com. You will find, what we do there. And actually, we're revamping that website. And soon we will launch a new one, but that's where you will see us. And I would invite folks to follow myself on LinkedIn. We publish there a lot of this information that you've heard today. And we also play a key role in the credit union industry. We have founded something that is called the CU, Credit Union Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Collective. And again, it shows how our industry or our movement, as we call it in credit unions, is concerned about being inclusive and being a welcoming place for people to trust their financial services.
Thanks again, Victor, for joining me.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have today for our first episode of 2021. Thanks again to my two guests, my fellow Clariton, Catherine Spizak and Victor Coro, CEO of Copera Consulting. But also, thank you to those of you listening at home or on the go. If you've not already, please take a moment to follow The Marketing Insider so you never miss an episode. Rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice, our favorite being Spotify, and share us with a friend or colleague so we can keep the conversation going. And with that, we'll see you next time with a brand new episode. Bye now.